Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, gather. I found something for you. If you listen well, I'm here to tell you you have nothing. Oh, a simple song, simple melody, yes, to remind you that you can be the greatest ever, defeated never. Oh, even though sometimes you may lose, oh my.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Hey, good evening, and God bless you, everyone. I'm Apostle Sherlene Cook. Hallelujah. And it blesses my soul to be here with you once again to welcome you to another installation of Gap Ministries Bible Study for this Thursday, August the 4th, 2022. Hallelujah. So now, my brothers and sisters, let's get down to the business at hand, and let me introduce you to your anointed host and facilitator. Hallelujah. My little sister, God's own gifted one, Apostle J. Leon Travis. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Giving all glory and honor to God Almighty, Most High God, the one true living God, the God that is his word, and he and his word is in him, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his life, burial, his life, death, burial, and his resurrection for us, for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and giving honor to my sister, Apostle Sherlene Cook, a.k.a. Bishop Cook. That's what a lot of people know her as, but I know her as a true servant of God. The one who has the heart for the people of God as well as the heart of God. But I'd like to thank you again, Apostle Cook, for giving us this opportunity to bring a word of God upon this great network, upon this anointed network.
God bless you, dear.
So before we go into, and I want to thank all the listeners in the chat room, all over the world, in the studio, Elder Leola, who's sitting here in the office with me here, faithful, always true, like you said, stand by you. And I think there are some other family members. I believe my sister in Christ, Sister Tracy, is on the line as well. And I just want to thank everybody for going on, because this is a subject that God hit me with, believe it or not, sis, early this morning. And you know a little bit of the prompting before this. And I just want to pray before we get into it. So, gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you and I come in the name of the resurrected Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity, for what you're strengthening us in, and for the word that you're pouring into me. I ask, Father God, that you would just, I have emptied out, Father God, and I ask that you would pour into me the anointing of your word, the power in this word and in this message. And Father, I, not only for myself, and I'm asking that you would open up the spirit realm, open up the ears and the eyes and the spirit of the people who are on this call, and give them the prompting to go out into the world to share this word. Father, I thank you for Apostle Cook and for Elder Leola and for everybody, Mother Mitchell and Mother Zeta Flowers, Prophet Apostle Tatum and Prophetess Tatum. Father God, for all that are just here listening, but I thank you for bringing me through, because I want the people to know that I know that you are able, and that is why I'm going to be your mouthpiece on tonight, and we are going to do battle. And we're going to pray, and we're going to spread the word, because it is the truth, and the truth of your word is going to break bondage and set people free. This I decree and declare and ask in our Lord and Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, do your thing in me. Amen. So tonight, everyone, we're going to talk about train up a child. We're going to come from the book of Proverbs 22 and 6. I need you guys to get pen and paper ready. We're going to go into Proverbs, Proverbs 17 and 20. Another scripture we're going to have is Ephesians 5 and 3. And we're going to do Ephesians 5 and 6. And we're going to go to Romans 6 and 23. That's just a few things of where God has me in this situation. I'm coming from the heart. I always come from the heart. But I'm coming from the heart, the spirit, and the mind in a place where I am as an apostle, as a servant of God, a woman of God, as a mother, as a grandmother, as an older woman. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm coming to you tonight with a word that will perfect and change things. And it's actually dealing with the way that things are now in the earth. we're dealing with the fact that children are being taught, not just at school, but you have parents that are telling the children that they have a right to speak their mind, a right to speak their mind, whether it's disobedience, a right to just go off, the right to choose how they want to be, where they want to be as far as their gender, their sexuality, having sex, and who they're having sex with. This is a serious topic that I believe has touched every household, but it may not be known in every household, Apostle. I mean, the situation is so dark that the enemy can actually sit among us, and until something or someone sheds the light on it, we don't even know that it's there. As you stated when you and I had a conversation earlier, it's generational, and it's time release. And you're going to have what you had to, as I urged you to speak on what you talked to me about earlier, because that was a divine revelation. But we're going to go and we're going to start here first with what the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs. We all know that the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, and it's a book on wisdom, what you can do, what you shouldn't do, you know, warnings and blessings and all of those good things. But tonight we're going to take the main topic from 22 and 6, and it reads, and I'm reading from a New King James Version, and it says in verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how do we train up a child? What is God saying? What is the man of God saying? Because the Bible is written from the inspiration of God by way of the Holy Spirit. So what is it being said here about training up a child? Well, when you look at the word train, it simply means to teach a person or an animal a particular skill or type of behavior through a practice of instructions over a period of time. Not, to me, a period of time is life, because we are always learning. I remember a pastor came from Africa, South Africa, to a church that, to our old church when my pastor was living. His name was Dr. David Malapo. He says, if you're not growing, you're dying. He said, but there's life in teaching. If you're not teaching, you're dying. So a certain period of time should be from the day that you're born until the day that you leave this earth. Amen. Now, who's supposed to train up a child? First responsibility is the mother and the father. And the responsibility is the state or the fact of having a duty. Now, a child is given to the parent as a gift from God, an assignment from God. I'm a mother of many, and I know God had to assign me to them and them to me. But the thing of it is, what do I do with that responsibility? Because it's a duty, it's a responsibility, it's an assignment, and it's also a calling. And the calling is that you deal or teach something or someone with order, by means of a control, with the way of accountability. I'm going to say that again. Responsibility is the state or fact of having a duty, assignment, or calling to deal or teach something or someone with order or control with accountability. Order is a form of righteousness, because God loves order, because he established order. A lot of people say, well, you know, everything ain't about God, but I'm here to tell you tonight, everything is about God. And everything we're talking about tonight is about the will of God. And we're going to talk about what God wants and what the world is trying to force us to accept and force our children into accepting. See, Satan has actually moved in a different realm. He's moving towards our children, because he knows that most parents are, Apostle, they're working 2 and 3 jobs, or when they get home from the jobs, they're busy on their laptops, or they're checking their emails, or they're trying to do meals, and that he have you so distracted and so tired that you're too tired to really train your child. Some people say Sunday's a day of rest, so we're going to stay at home and rest. We're not going to go to church. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. And in the meantime, while the children are asking and acting out, we're allowing the laptops, we're allowing TikTok, we're allowing the internet, we're allowing games, the videos to raise our children. But the word didn't say in Proverbs 22 and 6, God didn't say for the videos to train up our children. He didn't say for TikTok to train up our children. He didn't say for Instagram. He didn't say for Facebook. He didn't say for all these things that they have on these streaming channels. He said train up a child. What makes you think, Apostle J, that he's talking to us? Because children are a gift from God. God gives us children. And for those of us who don't have kids, are spiritual parents. They're surrogate parents. Because they help the mothers and the fathers. You have the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, those who live the will of God and the word of God. My great aunt taught me about the word of God. My mom didn't teach me. I would hear my mom pray when something would happen. But when it came to training me, to teaching me the word, my aunt Ollie, my late aunt Ollie taught me. I would hear my grandmother them go to church, and I would see them. Well, I would see them go to church, hear them talk about it, but then I would hear other things that didn't comply with, you know, didn't line up. It wasn't conducive to what church was really supposed to be about, what being sanctified and holy. I had an example in my aunt, but how are we as parents training up our children in the way that they should go? What are we doing now? Training, again, means a person or animal, a particular skill or type of behavior through a practice or instruction over a period of time. But that period of time, let's look at it. From the day you born to the day you die, you need to know right from wrong. Because if you're only, you know, people say that what you don't know won't hurt you, but what you don't know will send you to hell. It will damn you. It will condemn you to a life of damnation. It will condemn you to darkness. Dangers and evil, wickedness. You need to know the truth so the truth can keep you free, set you free, and keep you free. But when parents nowadays are saying, well, I allow my child to choose what they want because that's what the government is telling us, or I'm allowing my child to choose what they want because I really don't have time. I'm busy in this relationship, or I've been hurt from that last relationship, so let it be that parent who got the child or the other parent, let them handle it. See, we're giving our children over to the enemy. The word says to pursue and recover all. God has been talking to me about this for 8 months. Pursue and recover all. Pursue what? Pursue the things that I've lost, the houses, the vehicle. He said, no, pursue this generation and recover it all. If you want to be real on this call tonight, which every time Blog Talk and Spirit Alive come on, it's a real word. It's a right now word. It's an on-time word. We need to be for real and true about what we need to do with our children. We need to pursue and recover all. We need to not let the government raise them. You know why? Because the word of God says don't let, in Ephesians 5 and 6, he says don't let anyone deceive you with meaningless words. The word is telling children that it's all right to be transsexual. It's all right to be LGBT. You know, and it's all right for a small child, a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, to choose if a girl likes a girl and a boy likes a boy. And it's all right because the world says it, but the word of God says different. But when you tell them about the word of God, then it's considered judging. And the thing of it is that it's not judging, it's order, it's correction, it's a responsibility. The responsibility, again, is the state or the fact of having a duty. It is my duty. It is your duty, number one, to do the will of God, to live what the word of God says. If God calls homosexuality or perversion or pansexual or non-binary or binary, if he says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God tells a child, if God says in the book of Proverbs that, in the Ten Commandments, slow down, Apostle, if God says in the Ten Commandments, honor thy mother and father so that thy days upon the earth will be long. The thing of it is that when you get to a point where they're telling you, Apostle, you remember when we were growing up, the neighbor could correct us, the teacher could correct us, the principal could correct us, but now people don't want nobody saying anything to their children. You don't have any business saying nothing to my child. I tell my child what I want them to know. So now the responsibility and the accountability is on that parent for not holding up the correct torch See, people use different lights in this world, hallelujah, because some lights are those red or those blue lights or those dim lights. So they use, you know, most lights in houses have dimmers on it. People want to set the mood and set the environment, but you need a bright light of Christ shining through you. So when you're training up your child to live in the way of God, to lean not into your own understanding and trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, and your might, the thing of it is, and your mind, and when you want your child to be transformed, first of all, you got to be renewed in your mind. That's the only way you can teach somebody else to be renewed in their mind. And second, you got to first know you need to be holy, because once the mind is renewed and you see the truth, you want to stay free, you want to be free, you get free. And the thing of it is, with all of this that's going on with our children, you know, the word says, what is it, Proverbs 17 and 20, it says, he who has a crooked mind finds no good. And he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Now, the verse in Ephesians again says, 5 and 3 says, don't allow, don't let sexual sin, perversion of any kind, or greed even to be mentioned among you. This is not appropriate behavior for God's holy word. What he's saying here, people will sit here and say, well, you know what? They just talking. We letting our children watch things on TV with cussing in it. We letting them watch these Disney movies when they're bringing in non-binary and transsexual and homosexuals. Girls are kissing girls. They're oh, it was just a slight scene. It don't mean anything. And we're allowing our children, we say, to speak their minds, to be able to have the right to say what they want to say to elders, to talk crazy. I remember when it was a time, and it still would be now, if my grandmother and my mother was living, I would not curse in front of them. And when they said something to me, I said, ma'am, or yes, ma'am. If they told me to do it, I did it, whether I liked it or not, because I know there was a recompense. There was a purpose of accountability. We're not being accountable as parents. We're not being accountable as aunts and uncles. Oh, well, they not my children. It's over there. I ain't worried about what's happening. I don't have to train up a child. But it does not say parents train up a child. It said train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and 6 again. If you're an aunt, if you're an uncle, if you're a servant leader, if you're a brother, if you're a sister, if you're older, when you know right from wrong, you need to share that. You need to give it to those people, because we have children that the Bible talks about a great falling away. We're in part of that period. I hear it in my spirit. But the great falling away is the children falling away from order. They're falling away from instructions. They're falling away to a particular behavior. They're falling away to a certain period. But children are not too young to go to hell. Not just children, but there are some young adults that have been told that being this way and being that way, oh, God loves you, and he does. God loves us all, but he hates the sin. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong, W-R-O-N-G. It's wrong. It's not acceptable. It's not something that's pleasing in his sight, but he loves you. He loves you so much that he gives you grace and mercy every day, and he's hoping. He's hoping. He has to love that they're going to come out of it. They're going to come out of it. But we live in a wicked and a perverse time where children from ages, I see kids as young as 6-year-olds tell their parents what they want to do. But you know where I feel that we're falling short? We're asking them what they want to do instead of giving them the instructions, instead of leading them and practicing what we need to do to train them on what particular skill or type of behavior they should have. Remember, the word says that the meaning of it, the responsibility lies into this, where you would have to have order or control, but also with accountability. Now, hear me when I say this. The word of God is like a two-edged sword, and we need to take that word and cut to pieces every trial, test, temptation, but these are traps and snares for not our children, not just our children, but adults. We have older people that are living in a certain way, in a certain lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. Am I here to condemn you tonight? No, I'm not. I'm here to bring order. I'm here to bring correction, and I'm here to give you a word that will set you free. God loves you, and I love you. Apostle loves you. We all do, but we want you to come out of darkness. It's not just the perversion or the sin, but it's the children talking back to their parents. It's the people that are rebelling to authority. People rebel even, well, I got a right to say what I want to say. You have a right to do what's right. That's how I'm going to put that. You have free will. But God hopes, and he watches over us, saying to himself, I believe he says this, with this free will that I have given them, that they will choose the right way. Remember when Joshua told the people, choose you this day? Choose life or death. Because life and death in the power of the tongue. And if you're telling your child, I feel it strongly because it's something I'm dealing with. I've experienced, and I'm being transparent. When people tell you not to say anything to their child because their child is 12 or 13 years old and they have the right to choose what they want to do, how they want to do it, if they want to talk back, and if they want to lie, and as long as it's protecting them, that's wrong. The accountability for that is costly because it's a consequence. If you allow your friend, your child, your grandchild, your cousin, your niece, your neighbor, to keep remaining in sin, the wages of, there's a cost because the wages of sin is death. I mean, if you don't think I'm telling the truth, look it up, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life, and that's through Christ Jesus. And the thing of it is that we want to do what's right by God. I put a post up on my Facebook page the other day, because somebody had asked me to do something, and they wanted me to go against what God said. And they asked me, why didn't I do it? I said, who do you think I'm going to obey? You or God? Who are we going to obey? How long will we be caught between two opinions? How? How long? Because tomorrow is not promised. How long are you going to be caught between two opinions? Even if you have an adult child that's on a wayward side, you're going to have to actually stay on the wall. We were talking a couple of weeks ago on the call with Apostle Tatum about staying on the wall, about just staying there. We were all praying, and I remember how our apostle was leading us in prayer, and it just broke out. We have to do that. Our children need to see us pray. Our neighbors need to see us pray. Even those people who are not living according to the will and the way of God need to see us pray. But they need to see love in us. They don't need to see judgment. They don't need us saying, I hate you. That's not the word. God hates the sin. And like Elder Leola was saying, this year we're going to give it over to God and let it be his battle. But guess what? We're still going to stay in order, and we're still going to stay prepared because we're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to call back our children. God has been telling me to pursue and recover all. And that means everybody, his children, not just the little baby children. We're all God's children. And what I'm asking tonight is if there is anybody who is lost, if you feel like what you're doing and you know that it's sin, it's not just sexual sin we're talking about. If you have issues and underlying conditions that you've chosen to do, God, you have to repent and ask God to forgive you, and that's what he will do. And he will never bring it up before you ever again. The worst thing that we can do to somebody that has lived in sin and being bought out of sin is say, I remember when you did this here, and so-and-so, so-and-so, but if God throw it as far as the east is to the west, you shouldn't be bringing it up either. And that's the thing, that's where you're wrong. And guess what? There's a consequence for what you're doing. But the accountability of training up a child is on the parents first, because God actually ordained that child to come through us. And the thing, we have to teach our children what fornication really means. We have to teach them what homosexuality is, what the world is given a different name. Because, see, Satan is not playing with us. and he's after our children. He see he can't get us. Guess what he's going to move on to? He's going to say, next, let me get the kids. The mom and dad too busy. The grandmama's too busy. They so busy they broke down, or the grandmama trying to, what they call it, living their best life. Or, you know, sometimes the mom and dad living their best life. But your best life is in holiness and righteousness. Your best life is living in the will and the word of God, because your best life will not only be here on earth, but it's going to be in eternity with him. Now, the thing of it is, if you choose not to do what God is saying and you think you're living your best life, well, then the place that waits for you, the wages of sin is death, but there's a second death. It's appointed once for man to die, but when it comes to that eternity, that's going to be that next death, because you're going to be in eternal hell and damnation, and there's no room, no exit there. The kids think that some of the shows that they put on television that, okay, when you enter into the gates of hell, that there's a back door. There is no back door, and we are allowing this. We're not being responsible. We're not being accountable. We're not teaching our children. The word says train up a child in the way that they should go. The way that they should go is the way of truth, the pathway of God. Let him lead them down a path of righteousness for his name's sake. We should tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so our children can be free. So when you come to them at the age of three, oh, little girl, you can go on out there and have fun, but I got to ask my parents, I got to ask my dad why, because that's what Jesus said we supposed to do. We supposed to do what our parents tell us to do, but then you have to let your children know that, because see, the thing of it is, it's a spirit that can get on a child and on an adult, because Satan is not prejudiced. He doesn't care about color. He doesn't care about sex. He doesn't care about age. I heard a little girl say one day at my job, and she had just recently got baptized last year, she says, that's not right. My parents was showing us that in the Bible. And her little friend was like, well, they won't know. And what they don't know ain't going to help. If they don't know, you won't get caught. But God, she said, but God sees everything. So how are we training our children? How are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them that if they don't see it, it's all right? Or are we teaching them, well, I'm too tired and I'm worried. I don't want to be bothered. And I may not be worried. I just don't want to be bothered. So I'm going to let you do what you want to do and tell you that's between you and God. But there's an accountability on you as the parent. There's an accountability on you as the adult, the aunt, the uncle, the neighbor. If you see something that's wrong, you speak to that person, not just a little child, but that grown person in love. If you know somebody that's caught up in darkness, it still says train up a child. It doesn't say at a certain age, because we're all God's children. So I'm saying that we should train, we should show people, let them see what we practice. Let them see that we live what we preach. I had a couple that asked me, Apostle, a few years back to marry them.
Uh-huh.
And they were of the same sex. And they kept asking me. They kept coming to my office. And I told them, I said, well, I can't do it. They said, why? You know, you're so cool, and we love you, and, you know, you're so good to everybody, and we know you're a minister, and, you know, God loves us and stuff. And I sat them down in my office, and I told them. And then the enemy was still listening. You know what they said? What you ought to do is you do the ceremony. And no, we'll have somebody else to do the ceremony, and you sign the papers, the paperwork, the marriage license. And that's when I said,
no.
I don't co-sign sin.
No.
I don't co-sign sin. And that's how the enemy tricks us. The enemy will make us think. There's a church here where I live, and it's a big, huge Methodist church. They did a vote of people disaffiliating themselves because they were against members of the church. They have a book of, I think they call it the book of discipline, but then it lines up with the Bible or something like that. But they were saying the book of discipline is the gay is against homosexuality. And if you are not living in the order of God, you shouldn't be teaching, or you shouldn't be training, or you shouldn't be doing this because it is incorrect and it is not in the will of God. Well, you got some people, you got over 600 people that disaffiliated themselves with that church. And I said, wow, that's a great falling away right there. We're in this time. And the great falling away, we're so busy looking at what's going on in Russia. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to be aware, but We need to be praying over our children. We need to be doing exactly what the word train means. We need to teach them, but we need to teach them the truth. We don't need to teach them according to our emotions. We don't need to train our children up according to what society dictates. We don't need to train up our children according to what they're learning on the videos and not asking them questions. And then when someone else asks a question, you get offended by that. And if the truth offends you, then we need to pray for that person too. The thing of it is our children are in peril. People are in peril. The children of God are in peril. Some of the children of God are in darkness, from the church house all the way to our homes, into our lineage. God was saying something to me the other morning when I was praying. He said, that's a time release curse. He said, the enemy has waited on a certain time to get with a certain person or a child in order to release and launch that curse so they can latch on and then latch on to their mind. My late pastor used to always say, whoever has your mind has you. Those video games got our children's mind. This TikTok got our children's mind. You need to watch some of their friends and monitor that. They have their mind because guess what? They have the influence. And if they have leadership and influence over them, some children are going to follow them. I know what I'm talking about. And some adults will do it. Some people will go out and hang out. I've had people to tell me, we're going to take you out and do so-and-so and take a couple of shots. No, we ain't taking a couple of shots. I know we're not talking about a gun. We're talking about some Patron or something. I know what you're talking about. I don't drink like that. Oh, it's just a sip. No. I don't do that. But when are you going to live your life? Ain't nothing wrong with you living your life. I know it. I said, everything is supposed to be right with the way I'm going to live, and I'm going to have to live it according to righteousness. Do I get it right every day? No, I don't. That's why I'm letting you know this message is with love, but it also has a warning. We are to train up our children, not just the little bitty ones, but if you got a neighbor, a friend, a nephew, an aunt, or uncle that's doing something they shouldn't be doing, we need to teach them what's right. We need to open our mouths about the Bible. We can open up our mouths about what's going on in the streets. We can open up our mouths about what's going on, where a sale is, so-and-so got blah, blah, blah. They got a sale here. When you communicate those things, why not communicate the word of God? Oh, because it may not be politically correct. I'd rather be politically correct than I'm wrong. Let me slow down. I'd rather be biblically correct than to be politically correct. And that's the thing. They're saying that, I was told that there's nothing wrong with a child choosing what they want to do at no matter what the age is. I was also told that some things we have no rights to do, but we all have a right and a responsibility to teach God's word. Not only teach it, but to share it. I think some people are so caught up, Apostle, with trying to teach or being seen teaching rather than sharing the word with love and with understanding. You know what I'm saying? And with correction.
Amen.
People are afraid to offend people. I'm not afraid to offend somebody because if the truth offends you, I need to just pray, period. Because Satan is bolder. He is getting bolder and even more bolder by the minute. It's getting to a point now where he is so blatant and open with everything. It used to be he was very subtle. But Satan is coming all out because he is coming after. He's coming after who he can devour. Because the word says he roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. It's not just the old motherboard and the deacon board and the pastors. He's coming after the children. He's coming after the teenagers. He's coming after young adults. He's coming after middle age. He's coming after the Africans. He's coming after the Asians. He's coming after Hispanics. He's coming after everybody that he can get, whom he can devour. It didn't say a certain person, and that's where we're missing this thing. We're missing it, and we're so consumed by the distractions of this world that we are losing the body of that there. You know how you get a sore on your leg, and then you scratch it, and then it seeps out, and then it causes another sore? That's what I see in the spirit. It's like an infection that's spreading across not just the United States, but the globe. We got people that's thinking that what they was talking about, the Roe versus Wade. I had a little child that was arguing with me about it. I said, baby, when you get through talking, if your mom and daddy had got rid of you, you wouldn't be here talking to me. Well, that's not right. I said, okay, then. Now you understand. Life begins at conception. We need to teach the truth. We can't no longer be afraid. I refuse to walk on eggshells after what I went through this past weekend, at the early part of this week, and not say what I need to say. I'm going to be even more bolder. I just got to do what I'm supposed to do. Because you know what? I'm being transparent. I have been so distracted by so many things that the enemy has come in to sift people in my family as wheat. I can't allow that. I have an accountability, not just as a grandparent and a parent and an aunt and an uncle, but I have a responsibility as a servant of God and as a called, sent one of God to share the truth. We have got to get not just on our knees. We got to be praying sometimes, praying without ceasing. We got to be back and forth. If you got a child or a relative or somebody that's dealing with something that is not the will of God, it is your responsibility because you have saw it. You're gonna have to just give them the word, whether they reject it or not. And after you do that, you give it to God and you pray. Because I know, Apostle, what people are probably saying in the chat room or on their minds or that are listening. Well, I've talked to so-and-so, but they don't want to hear it. Okay, you talk to them. Let them see you live. Let them see Christ in you. You be the light of God, and you know, through Christ Jesus. And then you pray. You pray without ceasing. You pray. You anoint what you got to anoint. You fast. Or you do exactly as God say. And you keep them prayed up. Now, it is their choice. But I'm not going to be that parent. And if you are one of those parents that's teaching your child to do what they want, say what they want, choose the wrong thing and you know it's wrong, the accountability and the consequences is on you. It is on you. And with all the love in my heart, as I get ready to come to a close, because Apostle has some things that she want to say and Elder Leola has some things that she want to say, the thing of it is that we must train up those that we love and know, even those that we don't know. People need to see how we walk in order, how we are responsible for carrying the, because see, we carry the word. We carry purpose. We carry promise. Those of us that are sent, we're carriers of the oil. And we have to make sure that the oil is ready for the outpouring on the people of God, on the children. I'm ready for God to raise up Samuel, and they be giving the word to the Elias, as Samuel did. I'm waiting on God to bring forth the David. You see what I'm saying? Because they're out there. But you know why we don't see them? Because we're letting everything else train them. We're not standing according to our own responsibilities, not according to the way that we're supposed to do. And we're not teaching our children. We're not teaching those people who we see living the wrong way that the wages of sin is death. Because once you die caught up in your sin, everybody that die don't go to heaven. They may speak it at the funeral, at the home going, but everybody that dies does not go to heaven. And that was spoken into my spirit. I don't want to see, Apostle don't want to see, Elder don't want to see, Mother don't want to see, we don't want to see, God don't want to see. I believe we as leaders, as servant leaders, as servants, I'm not going to just say leaders, servants of God, we're supposed to plunder hell and populate heaven. We're supposed to train our children up and just train people up in the way that they should go. And that's the way of God. So when they're old, they will not depart from it. And the thing of it is just like whatever we're sowing in our children, we're going to reap it first. Whatever we sow into someone else, we'll be the first one to be the partakers of the fruit thereof. So if you're allowing these things to take place in your lives, remember the responsibility of your of training up a child or a child of God, because I'm going to put it both ways. The responsibility is on us. The accountability is upon us. And the thing of it is we have to do it and teach it with something. And what is the something? The something. It's the word of God. It's simple. The love of God, the fruit of the Spirit. the patience, the understanding, the long suffering. I mean, some things go on so long, you be praying. I've been praying 5 years, but you still have to do it. We still have to do it. Because the final cost of the wages of sin is death. And I don't want to help lead someone into that. My job, my responsibility, my call, and my blessing. It's a blessing to dwell among those of God and to teach them the will of God. Am I perfect? No. But I serve a God that perfectly loves me. And I want to act with that perfection and tell you tonight with all love and with the love for me and Apostle, come out of darkness. Get in your word. Talk to a saved, sent servant leader or a person that you know that walks the will and the way of God. Ask them to pray with you. See, the enemy wants to divide and to conquer so he can kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy the fruit of your labor that you have with your family members or your children or your grandchildren or your friends or your cousins or your neighbors, or the work that you do when you do street ministry or what you're teaching. He wants to devour that and destroy that. But I said, be it not. Don't be tricked. Don't be mocked. Satan is after this generation. I hear so many people say we live in a wicked and a perverse generation, and we have allowed the government to put things into law. We have allowed the mockery of some of the things of God, just like the rainbow. The rainbow is a symbol of the promise after God flooded the earth. But they use that now to mock pride. But pride goes before a fall. Did you not know that? We must do exactly as the word of God tells us to do. We're supposed to compel them to come. God says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. I've dealt with something, and the thing of it is I had to cry out to God and to Apostle and some other people that I know and to ask them to – they Apostle prayed. We all prayed. And once you pray together with people that you know that are real with the will of God and the word of God, those things – prayer changes things. It's time to pray.
Yeah.
And also it's time to do what God said, to train up a child, but train up a person, because that person is a child of God. And I pray a blessing upon each and every one of you that hear and that have heard this word. Again, I ask God that this word take hold of your spirit, your mind, and your heart. And I'm asking in Jesus' name that you come to know him and you live according to the order and the purpose that God has. Because not only is it my responsibility, but it's your responsibility to do so. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. What a word. What a word. Elder Leola, I know that you have a word. And if you are sitting in the studio with us right now and you would like to have a word, please press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number, because I know, hallelujah, if you're sitting in the room and you are a parent, you should be saying yes and amen, because that's all I have to say for right now. But Elder Leola, please come in the room and give us, put your praise on it, touch and agree, amen, hallelujah.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Apostle, and everyone on the call tonight. This message was well needed. If we look at the world with everything that's going on, they're calling wrong, right, right, wrong. And if we give our opinion, but if we give God's word, then we're speaking against them, and they get offended. And if you're on your job and your job don't allow that, you know, then you get sent up to the office or whatever. But we have to understand that we have to train up our children, because they're the next generation. One generation leads another generation and the next generation. So we have to make sure we do that. I mean, I've dealt with it in my life and in my family, and I've seen it. I still love them, but I know and they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. So we have to continue to preach the word, because that's our responsibility as not just servants, but mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles. That's what we have to do. That's
Amen.
What God says. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I want to give everyone an opportunity. If you're in the chat room, my Lord, and you would like to have a comment, you can either call into the studio at 714-364-4337, or you may type your question or comment now, and I will relay it to the panel. Amen. Well, if nobody has anything to say right now, I do. Hallelujah, because I like to wait. First of all, glory to God, needed message, timely message, and like I said, I say yes and amen. There are some of us that need to get off of our spiritual, lazy, complacent behind and get ourselves in order so that we can get our children in order. I have been counseling many children and young adults since I've been back in the state of Missouri, and I have been faced with something that truly grieves my spirit in relations to young ladies now thinking they are gay, and a few young men as well, because their parents didn't do their job. You see, my sister told you to train up a child. We have to train these children up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And you need to know and understand that children need to be trained. And deep down inside, children want to be trained. But when children are watching you being too Amen. Busy with that new boyfriend or that new girlfriend, when your children Amen. Are watching you too busy down Amen. At the church house telling other people's children what to do, or
Come
when
on.
You're too busy down at the church house trying to be in the know, trying to make sure you don't miss none of the scuttlebutt on the pastor. Okay. Your child is feeling abandoned. Your child
Come on.
Is feeling neglected. Your child is feeling unloved. And when you allow your child to be raised by that television, that internet, that computer, you are reinforcing exactly what that child believes.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook friends love me. This gang out in the street will love me.
Mm-hmm.
I allow myself, mm-hmm. you know, these boys out mm-hmm. in this locker room, they'll love me.
Get in where you fit in.
I'm going to get in where I fit in. Somebody going to love me. Oh, let me have a baby because my baby will love me.
Come on.
Because you, saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled super Christian, are training up your child. Your child, I have never seen so many cases of incestuous behaviors. Women allowing the men that they are with to molest their daughters. They tell their mothers, and the mother tells them, oh, you brought that on yourself.
Come on.
You just don't want me to be happy. You jealous. You threw yourself on him.
That's part of it.
That child, 13 years old. I don't care if that child walked across the floor butt naked. That man has no business touching your child.
You own it right there.
So what are you telling that daughter? You're not really worth much. I'm not going to protect you. I don't even believe you.
There you go.
And that's the same child that watches you get up on Sunday morning and put your glad rags on and tip on down to the church looking holier than that.
Wow.
Little girls are walking around allowing eating themselves to death because they're trying to hide behind the weight so they won't be attracted to men. Because they've been hurt and they've been abused and they have scars. And you, Mr. and Mrs. Super Christian, haven't even noticed.
And you know what, Bishop? I mean, Apostle, you hit something right there. You know, it's a spirit of rejection that opens that up as well. And like you said, it's an ancestral
it's an ancestral, generational curse, and it's an incest curse too.
Because incest
it's an ancestral curse.
So many doors.
It does.
And the thing of it is, and I knew what you meant by both of them because I thought about the curses that's on the ancestors, and then when you just said that about when a child comes, because sometimes little boys will come and say, "Mama, he touched me, and he was doing this."
And you don't want to believe.
I'm going to sit down somewhere. You know what you're talking about. Because I can speak for that personally when I was 6 years old, telling them what was happening. They said, "Oh, the redhead girl, go somewhere and sit down. You're just being fast."
Right.
But it's not, you know, they call it smelling themselves. But when children react like this, there is something going on. And like you said, the mothers are so distracted because they're so afraid because they still broken and they still hurt. Or the father still broken and still hurt. They feel like you trying to ruin my life. You don't want me with anybody. We see it on TV, but we see it in real life, too.
But see, that's selfishness. Parents, they live in their best life. And while they live in their best life, their children are suffering.
Their children living in hell.
Their children living in a living hell every day.
If you're not living in the true identity of Christ, God, the word says in Genesis, he made both male and female.
Yep.
And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And you can't procreate if a man is with a man, and you can't procreate if a woman. That's out of order already.
And then, wait a minute.
But
you're
teaching our children.
Go ahead,
the sad part about it, some of them are training. They're training them to do the wrong thing. They're not training them in the way that they should go.
Like father, okay, your sons, okay, they shouldn't be able to go up under your bed and be pulling out all this filth. Okay?
Yeah.
When I'm married, I'm grown. They shouldn't be in my room. Well, you know kids go in your room.
You better lock it up.
And if you a godly man, what you need that for anyway? See, you can't do one thing and do something else. You've got to train this child up, not just by the words of your mouth, but by the way you live your life. If you want your children to live or be holy, then you got to demonstrate holiness before them. You have to demonstrate righteousness before them. You can't be talking about, I'm going to see Bruno Mars on Monday, on Saturday night, but you count down the time that you need to be home so you can be on the church door in the morning. You can't confuse your kids. The Word of God says, "Let your yeas be yeas."
And and the thing of it is that we're so busy trying to be friends with our children instead of being parents. We're so busy trying to comply with the adults. You know, I have some friends that I know that are living together, and they're women, but they say they go to church, they say they this and they that, and I just be looking at them. I said, but you know what God said about that, right?
Exactly.
And they be like, well,
He does, but
out
he,
of it.
Yes, exactly. You know, we got people Tip is going up in the church houses every Sunday like they're married. Everybody knows they're not married.
That's happening.
And see, church, and you know what? I'm like this. I'm saying the time for us to, you know, to say, well, let the pastor talk to him. You know, maybe Dr. Phil will tell him something. No. If you're a child of God and you know better, it's up to you to encourage that person. It's up to you to tell that person what thus saith the Lord. It's up to you to remind them that you're supposed to build them up, edify them on every leaning side. You're supposed to pray with them. You're supposed to let them know, look here, I'm not telling you like my sister said. I'm not telling you this out of condemnation. I'm not telling you this out of judgment. I'm telling you this because I love you. And I want to see more. I want to you to have more, be more, and do more with your life.
To live your best life in Christ. To be a statistic. Because that's what
we live our best life in Christ.
They build a statistic.
You can do anything. You can do anything with Christ Jesus. You can do anything when you allow that Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you and stand up in you. Honey, let me tell you something. David was a boy when God used him. David was not a grown man. David was a boy.
Samuel was too.
Samuel was a boy when God used him.
Yep.
Timothy was not an old man when Paul started training him up.
Teenager. Come on. Jeremiah was
young. Your age does not define what God has in store for you to do.
But you know what? Another thing that they teach, I was told, well, they're not at the age of accountability. When you know
12 years old, you're
accountable.
12 years old. That was the whole point of the story of Mary finding Jesus in the synagogue at 12 years old.
When he was
whole point of that story. Amen.
And that's when the Jewish people do the bar mitzvah, for the young men.
Exactly. So, you know, I just want, and again, my brothers, my sisters, there's nothing wrong with being passionate for the Lord and wanting to do a good work for the Lord. But don't let that overshadow the work that you need to do with your children. Don't let it overshadow the work of sowing love and compassion and the things that money can't buy. You know, parents, you have misplaced values like integrity and honesty. You replace them with things. If I get them the right phone, they have the right tennis shoes. I get them the latest this, the latest
that.
You know, that's not training up your children. You are teaching your children to barter. If I want to do, if I want this, then I got to do this. If I want that, then I guess I'll do this.
Yeah.
You don't teach. Right, you don't stand and ask your children, do you want to learn? You're their parent. It's your job to stand and teach.
Yeah.
And you teach
you know
them.
What? When we were little, do you remember when we were much younger that we were told, this is what you eat
for
dinner.
Yeah, we were told. We weren't asked.
And even when you went shopping with your parents to school clothes, they told you what you were going to wear.
Exactly. Exactly. And see, this is what upsets me so much with, especially with Christian parents. You know, I just don't know what's wrong with my child. I she sneaks out the house and she changes clothes. Well, who bought the clothes that she changes into?
Oh, wow. That ouch. That's an ouch right there. That boy should be lighting up right there.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't know what's wrong with her. You know, she wants to wear makeup. Well, who bought the makeup? She's 12. You can't have it both ways, parents.
You can't have it both ways.
I wish I would have came out of my room at 12 years old with some red lipstick on. I wouldn't have had any lips.
But see, the thing of it is, you see little girls now that are dressed so provocative that,
yes,
and they're 13, 14, 15, and 12.
Yes.
And that's what makes the guys, the pedophiles, and the other guys look at them. And, you know, when some
that's
of them
right.
say, well, I didn't know how she was, she looked so-and-so, but you're not. And I'm not saying every parent is not doing this, but because
no.
children will get smart. But as Apostle said, who bought the things that they're wearing? Who's okay
exactly.
with it? See, everything has a door. Everything has
yes,
a door.
It does.
There's a door in the spirit realm and there's a door in the natural. If you're going to open
right.
it up in the natural, it's going to swing wide open in the spirit realm. If you're going to lead them to, hey, look like this and do this and do that, guess what? It's going to attack them and pull them all the way in the spirit because we're not dealing with flesh and blood. It appears that because it's what we see and what we touch, but we're dealing with principalities, spiritual
that's
wickedness
right.
in high places and rules of darkness.
That's right.
They are out to kill, steal, and destroy. There is no compromising of an age or group now because Satan knows his time is limited. It is getting
that's
very
right.
short. So guess
that's
what?
Right.
He figured, well, I'm going to take as many with him as I can. The parents
that's
ain't got
right.
He's caused
that's
a
right.
distraction. He's caused a distraction. The shepherds are, and I'm not just saying the church leaders and stuff like that, but the shepherds, meaning the parents, are so distracted and trying to keep their eyes on paying the bills. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Please keep doing that, doing this and doing that. But you like Apostle said, you're not teaching them. You're not saying, hey, that's wrong. Oh, well, I'm going to let my child think because they're doing this here in school. But, no, you can go to that school, but guess what? You're not going to teach my child that being gay is right. It's natural and it's human. No, it's evil and it's demonic. There's nothing natural
that's
about it.
Right.
If God says wrong, it's wrong.
And that's what I'm saying. We got to sit back
and
we have to stop being complacent, sis. That means if you got to get that, if you got to get up off that couch or leave that job early and go down to that school and get in somebody's face, get in that school board's face, if that means you got to leave your job for a few minutes and make sure you go vote for people that are going to make sure
mm-hmm.
that these, you know,
that
things are not being taught to my child, that I don't want being taught to my child, whatever the case may be, you cannot sit back and do nothing and be complacent and be lazy and then say, oh, Lord, help us.
And
He's given
it,
us
right
tools.
There,
He's given us
and
tools. We should be armored up. We should be standing on the, we should have our swords, the word of God. We should be praying. We should be
and
going down there at the schoolhouse praying. Okay, they said they took prayer after school. Okay, well, they took prayer after school. We can stand around the school all day long and pray all day if we need to.
And you know what?
Because it's a public
sidewalk. There you go. And then you can pray for your children before they go to school.
Before they even go out the door. Pray with them. And that's what we need to do, saints of God. You know, we've got to, and now that, you know, once COVID hit, people don't have to, you know, now nobody wants to go back into the brick and mortars. Okay, well, you know, I just watch it on Zoom. Well, the next thing you know, they're not watching anything on Zoom. They're not watching anything anywhere. Because it's even easier for them to get distracted. So, you know, parents, we have to love our children enough to tell them the truth and the whole truth and tell them before the fact. You know, like I was telling sister earlier,
yeah.
It doesn't do any good to come telling your daughter about, you know, well, you shouldn't be fornicating after she's three kids in. The time for you to be teaching those scriptures is before she gets out there. And then tell her the consequences. And then tell her what God says about motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to start sharing that wisdom that comes along with that word. You want to, what God says, honor thy mother and thy father. Well, honor your children.
And
by
you know
teaching them what is good.
Children are using. I'm going to show you how kids, how some people know the truth. I've heard children say, well, the Bible says provoke not your child into anger. What? You know that?
It says that.
But you don't know nothing else? I said, yeah, it says that. I said, but guess what? There's still something else to go with that. And the thing also is the mindset. Because remember earlier I said, well, the apostle used to teach us, whoever has your mind has you. The renewing of the mind, that's your slogan. Yeah, that's your motto.
That's our tag. Yes, that's our tag. Romans 12:1-2.
You got to be transformed, but it starts with the renewing of the mind. So the adult, we're the older ones. We have to make sure our minds stay clean and right.
We don't need to be out there judging.
We need to be teaching them with love. But I feel that we're failing in is people are afraid to talk about what we're talking about tonight because they say they don't want any backlash. Guess what? The word says,
I don't care about their backlash.
You can be more than the world against me. Again, if Christ be for me, who can be more than the world against
me? That's right. Amen.
If you're living wrong,
Amen.
I'm going to tell you. But I tell you with love.
Exactly. And we're not saying, you know, I counsel gay men and women, gay young people, and I tell them what the Word of God says. You know, I tell them what the Word of God says. I don't beat them up because, and I'm going to tell you something. They know the Bible better than a lot of you do. Okay, they really do.
Yeah,
they know because they have been beaten with it over the head over and over and over and over again. But what instead of beating them up is show you got to get through to them that yes, God loves them. But there is a way, and he has a way, and he has an order, and he has, you know, we have disciplines. And we have to show them how that works. You cannot teach somebody if you won't even go around them. You cannot train up somebody if you won't even acknowledge them.
Or you should be.
So why don't we come out of some of our hypocritical, judgmental attitudes and start loving them as Christ loved us and then let God be God.
Teach them and while we live in it and every day. I used to ask my Aunt Ollie questions all the time. You carry your Bible everywhere you go. She used to walk 2 and 3 miles. She would visit us from St. Louis, and then she would go to her older sister's house. She would walk from the community we lived in to her sister's house. Sometimes she'd get on the bus, but sometimes she didn't have the bus money. And she would walk, and she would have her Bible, and it would be burning hot outside. She would be sweating, and she would be smiling. When she get there, just give me a cool drink. And I've asked her and my great-great-grandmother about, you know, why you carry this Bible, what's in there and stuff. You know, even a couple of times I knew I was in trouble. I went, hey, I need to know something about the Bible because I'm scared, you know, but those kind of things. The parents are living in fear because they don't, it's like, some servant leaders are living in fear because they are allowing so much stuff to come into the house of God because they're afraid of losing members. And they're afraid of losing tithe money. But if those of us who trust in the Lord, I'm not compromising. That's what I'm saying. I'm not straddled the fence. And parents, we cannot be straddled the fence. We can't be holy on Sundays and be holy when we want to correct our children. We have to be holy. Is it easy?
All the time.
No. But guess what? It's a good thing. It's the best thing you can ever be. Because I would rather, outside of hearing God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, I want to hear children say, you know what? My mom and my dad and my aunties and my grandmamas them taught me how to live right. And so on. So I came out of this because my neighbor was so holy. I would see her going to church and she'd sit there and she would talk to me and she would always be nice to me. I'm like you. I counsel people who are living a certain lifestyle. But you know what they say? They say, you just talk with love. You don't condemn us. I said, nobody should be condemned. We want to be set free. We want you to be in God's. We're going to all stand before him. We will all stand before him. But you don't want him to say, depart from me.
Amen.
I don't want to see that. So, I mean, my God.
Hallelujah. Well, this has been one wonderful conversation, and there is still time. If you would like to add your comments or just testify, touch and agree, you're still able to do so. Hallelujah. We just praise God. And if there's somebody out there, you know, look, we really do love you, and we know that our programs are global and they're heard all over the world. And we just want to just speak to the hearts of any young person out there. We want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he wants the very best for you.
Amen.
And you can always go to him and talk to him. But if you don't know him in the pardon of your sin, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your eternal address right now. Because, see, I want you to know and understand that Jesus, when your mother leaves you, Jesus will be there. When your father leaves you, Jesus will be there. When your friends leave you, Jesus will still be there. He will stick close to you. He wants to protect you. He wants to love on you and grow you up so that you can be the awesome creation that he created you to be in the first place. And all you have to do to begin that process is go to him with a sincere heart and just say, Lord Jesus, look, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, for I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that you came, you died, and you rose for my sin. Now, please come into my life and save me, protect me, grow me up, use me, make me, mold me, because I want to be in your presence. I want to be under your protection. I want to be under your guidance. And I pray this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that
amen.
Prayer with me on behalf of Apostle Jay Leon, Elder Leola, and myself, we want to be some of the first to welcome you to the family of God. We pray that you will, of course, continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. We pray that you will find a local church that is Christ-centered, where Christ is taught and demonstrated. And we pray that you will study to show yourselves approved. And that's as simple as asking the Holy Spirit that is now in you right now. If you said that prayer, and he will come along beside you and help you learn all the things that you need to know about the Lord. So, most gracious and heavenly Father, I come right now in the name of Jesus, just praising you for this mighty lesson that went out over the airwaves on tonight. I want to thank you for your anointed servant, Lord God, and her obedient heart. And Father, I want to thank you, hallelujah, that the word went out according to your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord God, I pray for every parent, every foster parent, every grandparent, every aunt, every uncle, every cousin, every blood-washed believer, Father God. I pray that their hearts were pricked on tonight to help train up the village, yes. Help train up the children, Father God, no matter yes. What the age may be. May we walk in righteousness and holiness, Father God, being a living example of who you are. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want to be that epistle that they read that says you are love and you are good and you are gracious and merciful. We want to be, Lord God, your hands and your feet. So use us to build up your children, Lord. Use us, Lord God, hallelujah, to continue to walk beside one another and hold each other up, Lord God, in the times of trouble, in the times of weakness, in the times of temptation, oh God. We pray for our children, Lord. We pray that you be their hedge of protection, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we pull down those spirits of rebellion and confusion and those spirits, Lord God, of rejection and attention-seeking. Lord God, we pull down all those negative spirits that try to overtake our young people today. Lord God, we just pray for their heart sets and their mindsets, Lord. Let them not be swayed by all the chaos that they see on the TV, Lord God. Let them not become victimized to materialism and capitalism, Father God. But let them come to know that every good and perfect thing is only found in you, oh God. So, Lord, I pray that you strengthen the parents. Give them wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and understanding to train up their children in the way that they should go. And, Lord God, I pray for all of those who are striving to do just that. Let them not be weary of doing good, oh God, because we know that in the end, you have already won and we are winning. So, Father God, we thank you. We pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. I will now turn the program back over to Apostle J. Leon for her final word before I close the program.
Amen. Praise God. I just want to say that everything that was said tonight was from the mouth of God into my heart, and also from something that I had experienced. So I was being transparent. But my prayer for you, my fervent prayer for each and every person that's on this call, is that the truth will come to be the light to pull us all out of darkness, especially for our children, but not so much as the little bitty ones, but the children of God, all the children of God.
That
guy that you know, or that person that's on drugs or that's addicted, because as Apostle said, there are many factors that play in and open doors and unlock the doors, the rejection, the fear, the doubt, the worry, the don't want to be bothered, or I'm going to do it my way, and, you know, whatever, whatever. We'll just deal with the consequences. But my prayer tonight is that you, that person, everyone that's on this call will receive what God is pouring out to us. It's time for the dry bones to live, and it's time for us to come to the light and do what's right, and it's time for our minds to get according to the will of God and the word of God.
Yes.
I thank God for this opportunity, and Apostle, I want to thank you for giving me the platform to speak on this, because it's not a popular subject. But I'm not trying to do anything to be popular. I'm just trying to do what God says and do it the right way. Amen. Bless you all.
Amen. You have been listening to Gap Ministries Bible Study with your anointed host and facilitator, Apostle J. Leon Travis. We pray that you have heard something that has truly educated you and empowered you and just edified you so that you can go out and do the work of the kingdom. Amen. So it is our fervent prayer that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you, beautiful sisters. I love you. God bless you, everybody in the studio.
God bless you all. Good night.